The 509th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Game Time, your home for the lowest priced last minute tickets. Download the Game Time app today and use promo code SGPN for $20 off. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play Underdog's Pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry. Use promo code SGPN at UnderdogFantasy.com for a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Hello, Generinos. Welcome to a special bonus episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 509. It's going to go out to William31, one of our friends in the Discord, who broke the big news that Alex Pereira, Jamal Hill were main eventing UFC 300. So this goes out to you. And what a main event it shall be. Thanks for coming to the show. We got quite a show for you. It's right in line with that. Jamal Hill headlining UFC 300. We got PFL versus Bellator, Champs is what it's called. Capital Champs is all capitalized, ladies and gentlemen. My co-host is shaking his head. You may not, if you're not watching, that's what's going on. Despite him off air begging us to do this episode and begging for us to do a bonus episode to get this one in, I acquiesced and I'm letting him do PFL versus Bellator. Not only is this a massive event, Champs, it's going down in Saudi Arabia. That's problematic, and it's paper, and they expect us to pay for it on pay-per-view, so that's problematic as well. So, but Gumby's got even hotter takes than that. Let's bring in Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He's going to rip apart this fight card, and then he's going to tell you why you should still listen and watch our episode. Go ahead.
So you should always listen and watch to our episodes because we're going to win you money, and that's the thing. Second of all, before I get into crapping on this card, when I give friendly reminders at the top of the show for people to subscribe because it makes no difference to their life, but it makes ours really nice, we tend to get a whole bunch of new subscribers. So first of all, thank you to everybody who subscribed following me, reminding you on one of our UFC 298 preview episodes. But again, the button's just like right there, and you don't even have to turn notifications on, so it won't change your YouTube experience at all, other than it will make me and Jeff smile a little more. So go ahead and hit subscribe, and we much appreciate that. And now that I'm done talking about that, yeah, this card blows, man. I don't know what to tell you. We're gonna talk about 10 different fighters today. Four of them are old UFC cast-offs.
Old being the key, old.
Yeah, they promised us a bunch of champ versus champ fights, and there's only two left. Like, only two have made it to fight day, or fight week, rather. And one of them, the most inexplicably weird one, is the light heavyweight champ of PFL is not fighting the light heavyweight champ of Bellator, who is somewhere else on the card. One of them is fighting a heavyweight fight. One of them is fighting a middleweight fight. And there's no good reason why they wouldn't be fighting each other. So I don't know what they're doing there. I'm just going to shrug and say, like, this is weird. I don't love it. And we'll go from there.
What did we lose? Should we talk about what we lost?
No, it's everything. I'll share one. We lost Pitbull Fury versus Jesus Pinedo. That's the one that, like, soured me from being like, okay, this card's not the best thing in the world, but at least I get to see Jesus Pinedo and whether or not he's good enough to beat Patricio Pitbull.
Yeah.
And then that fight fell off, and I was like, oh, okay, well, why do I care anymore then? So yeah, I care because there are a couple of odds that I look to exploit, and a whole bunch of really fat odds that maybe you just roll in a big fat parlay.
Roll them in a big fat parlay. We have a 182-pound catchweight fight though, Gumby.
I put that down as middleweight. I don't know if there's a reason why it's 182 pounds listed on Tapology. Is it only listed as that on Tapology, or
do confirmation? Wikipedia as well. I haven't checked the PFL.
What the hell are we doing?
I assume PFL has a website, right?
Bellator has a website. Although, didn't they shut it? They shut the rankings down. Yeah, because they still had rankings up until like 2 weeks ago. Everybody who told me that the Bellator rankings were like better than the UFC's, and then like people would win and their ranking would go down and people would shrug their shoulders at how it happened. Turns out when you get a lot of people, you know, voting on stuff, there's usually one person who messes up those numbers. People like to brag on ranking teams, and there's usually just one person who does some bad things and it gets all screwed. So anyway, let's talk about fights.
This is a super fight pay-per-view though. Does that excite you?
Which fight would you call super?
It's a super fight pay-per-view.
Tell me which
182 pound fight, obviously. No, it's not too super, and it's weird. It's a weirdly put together, and it's a pay-per-view. I was just on their site. I should check how much they expect us to pay for this here thing. And how much is Saudi Arabia paying them for this as well? They shouldn't have to take any of our money if they're taking the dirty blood money from, doesn't tell you. Of course, it's not easy to order the pay-per-view on their website. So I don't know how much it costs. So there you go. We're going to make money out of it, right, Gumby?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Right.
Yeah. Why not?
When is this here thing happen? Saturday, right? Saturday. Yeah. Every night. Oh, no, not even Saturday night. 12 p.m. Eastern is when it's starting. You got me?
Perfect.
Is that's better for you?
I mean, I'm going to watch it with the same amount of tenacity as I would if it was
at night. Tenacity. Yes. He's going to effort and watch it. PFL versus Bellator champs is what it's called. Saturday, February 24th, 12 p.m. Eastern time, pay-per-view. The Kingdom Arena in Riyadh. How do you say that?
Riyadh,
Saudi Arabia, in a cage, 11 fights. Gumby does not want to break down all of the fights. Do any of the other fights interest you at all?
No, every single one of them's got like negative 11,000 odds or something like that.
We got
like,
Muhammad Ali's.
Yeah, Biagio Ali Walsh. They found another squash match. So, like, yeah.
Yep.
He is actually turning pro this time, though. So props to him for that. It was time.
We got Clarissa Shields fighting again, even though she's already lost. So shine's kind of off that. You don't like Clay Collard versus AJ McKee?
That fight's fine, but I don't think Collard will stay standing for more than 6 seconds. So there's my there you go. There's my handicap of that. That's one. AJ McKee takes him down violently 5 seconds in and subs him.
All right, let's get right to the ones we're actually going to break down. Maybe hopefully he gives us a bit more info than he just did. But who's to say this is a super fight? Super fight of UFC washouts, light heavyweights, Thiago Santos, Brazil, Yoel Romero from Cuba. Romero is soldier of God, 15-7 with 13 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. He owes this to be finished. 2-2 in Bellator, 2-1 over his last three, 2-5 over his last seven. He did lose his last fight. He's fought at middleweight, missed weight twice at middleweight. So now he's at light heavyweight. 0-1 in Strikeforce. 2009 pro MMA debut, silver medalist in wrestling like 24 years ago. I believe it was the 2000 Olympics. Plus 100, Moretta, Sledgehammer, Santos, 22-11 with one no contest, 15 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted 3 times. He has fought once in PFL. He lost, but it got changed to a no contest because everybody got busted for drug tests, except for Santos. His opponent got busted, so it's a no contest now. 14-10 in the UFC, 1-2 with one no contest over his last 4 fights. He's not won a fight since October 2021. Used to fight at middleweight and welterweight, which is shocking to think of. 2-2 in the Ultimate Fighter, 2010 pro MMA debut, 4 inches height, 3 inches of reach, 7 years younger than Romero, minus 120. 2-2 in tough is like one of the weirdest records you're ever going to see. You're not going to see anyone else go 2-2 in tough, I don't think.
Not very often. I'm going to go with Yoel Romero as a slight dog here, too. Mostly, here's my breakdown of this one. I don't think Yoel Romero has aged as poorly as Thiago Santos has. That John Jones fight seemed to take every last bit of him out of it. He just doesn't look like himself anymore after that. You know, to your point, he did score that one win in PFL, and he's got like a weird win over Johnny Walker where Johnny Walker forgot how to throw punches. But apart from that, those are his only 2 quote unquote wins since he lost that fight to John Jones. He just looks like a shell of himself. He looks like he's afraid to let go of his punches. Sometimes he's really delayed in his decision-making. And the thing you could say about Yoel Romero is he may have lost this step being, what is he, 55 years old now?
47 in a couple months.
Yeah, 47. He may have lost the step at 47, but he's not hesitant. Nothing he does is hesitant. You know, if you go back and you look at that, well, who did he fight? Alex Polizzi? Was it Alex Polizzi? I think it was an Alex Polizzi fight. And that fight, like, he was having spots where he didn't look great, but then also just, like, jumped on every opportunity that he had to pull that one out. So I think Yoel Romero being just like a little bit more explosive, Thiago Santos probably not having the takedown defense to deal with that. And also for me, the biggest piece is just going to be the intention in this fight. Is Yoel Romero isn't afraid to get after it anymore. And Thiago Santos is like a little bit gun shy that he might get like, you know, kicked 750 times or, you know, like he just seems to not want to pull the trigger, not want to make a mistake. And Yoel Romero is happy to take advantage of that kind of behavior.
Could be an ugly fight because Romero likes to do nothing.
It should be an ugly fight. This could also be just like double controllers unplugged. So
Romero somehow has kept his star quality despite not doing anything in fights. I guess when he does stuff, it's crazy.
It was Polizzi he beat, right? Like, do you have the records pulled up?
I can check.
I'm almost positive it was Alex Polizzi that I'm remembering him like pulling one out of the bag on.
Polizzi and Manhoof he fought.
Oh yeah, but again, like that's a perfect example. Like, not that you can draw a clear distinction. You can't draw a clear distinction between Thiago Santos and Melvin Manhoof, but like, Manhoof is a guy who just wants to slug with you, and if you give him that opportunity, he will. And Santos is a guy who, same thing. Like, it's not like Santos is going to go beat you on the ground, really, except for that like one fight he had with, who was it, David Branch way back when.
I remember that guy.
Yeah. So he's not going to take you to the ground and beat you up. So like, it's like a good corollary here because Yoel Romero will get after it with what he's good at if you just kind of wait back to hit your big shot. And I think that's kind of what's going to happen here.
All right. There you go. He's taking a +100. Almost 47-year-old Yoel Romero. That's where we are with this card. All right, before we move on, let me tell you about Game Time, the spot for last-minute tickets. I told you I've been looking on there for Neil Young tickets. I've looked on there for MMA tickets and other things as well. It's the spot to go. It is the place for last-minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive is the word. Flash deals and tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, MMA, and more. The Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for last, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download Game Time app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NBA, NHL, and college basketball, and MMA. Obviously, simply pick higher or lower on your favorite player's fantasy stats and cash in. You can win 100 times with some spicy plays. Gumby's going to give you a play for PFL versus Bellator.
No, I'm not. I don't even think they have that on there right now. They have had PFL in the past, but I don't think they have that on there right now. I did notice that they added some season-long player props for MLB. And they got my guy, Ronald Acuña Jr., listed at 99.5 hits. I think he's going to crack 100 in the coming season. So let's go higher than 99.5 hits on Ronald Acuña.
Are they expecting him to get hurt? Like, what? Why is it so low?
Yeah, I don't know.
You said 99, not 199?
No,
you said 99.5?
99. I'm sorry. I said hits. I meant RBIs. Sorry. That's RBIs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. 99.5 RBIs. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that clarification. I was looking at the word hits. And
a little more difficult.
They got 179.5 on his hits. And I think he could do that too. I think he could give me a buck 80 hits.
He can do anything.
Yeah.
He can do anything.
He's a superhero.
All right. Watch along once the season starts, of course. Make your picks and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code MMA SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code MMA SGPN. Gumby will watch along, that's for sure. Someone else in the Discord is a Braves fan too, aren't they? Isn't there someone in there that's
got to be? Everybody's in our Discord. So.
All right, now that we're on a baseball talk, we haven't talked about your hat over the past two episodes. Have we talked about this one before?
I think I might be on the repeats now. Yeah, it might be time to get some new hats because I'm on repeats. This is a churro.
He's acting like it's a normal thing. He's like, yeah, it's a chalupa.
It's a churro. Right? Churro.
A churro, excuse me, yes.
Yeah, it's a churro holding a baseball bat.
No big deal.
And the baseball bat's made out of a cinnamon stick. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
no big deal. It's just normal. Normal. All right. Here's something that isn't normal. Heavyweight fight. I don't know. That doesn't make sense. But it's got a light heavyweight in it. Heavyweight fight, Bruno Capoloza versus Vadim Nemkov. Yeah, we're talking light heavyweight versus a heavyweight here. I think Nemkov was saying he wanted to go to heavyweight, though, possibly. I can't.
He dropped the light heavyweight belt.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
I remember being like, why did he vacate a belt that doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah, just hang on to it. Will anyone even notice if you hang on to it?
And I think it was probably to set up this fight and so that he didn't have to fight Impa Kasangane instead, because Impa Kasangane is the light heavyweight champ of PFL. So like maybe he wanted this Bruno Capoloza fight. And I don't know. It's weird.
Thank God he did, right?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Maybe he wants to be in the PFL season instead of being weirdly tied to like Bellator.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, we're going to tell you about his opponent first. Capoloza, 15-6 with one no contest, 14 knockouts. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice, 5-1 with one no contest in the PFL. He was the 2021 PFL champion, 0-1 with one no contest this past season. Last fight was a no contest from a failed drug test. He was one of the people that got popped. He's not won a fight since April 2022. He's fight at light heavyweight. He's got multiple future championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamingpodcast.com/store. 2010 pro MMA debut, 2 inches height, 3 inches of reach on Nemkov, plus 380. Nemkov, 16-2 with one no contest, 9 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 9-0 with one no contest in Bellator. He's the light heavyweight champion. He was. He relinquished it, as Gumby said. He's won 2 straight fights and gotten 11-0-1 over his last 12. He's not lost since April of 2016. He's fought at heavyweight in the past, so this is not a huge deal, I guess, for him. 2013 pro MMA debut. If he has a mantle, he's got multiple world championships in Sambo on that mantle of his. 3 years younger than Capoloza, minus 500. Yikes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nemkov, obviously. I think, and this is going to be the theme that for at least a few of these fights I talk about. We got a guy in Capoloza who, you know, he can bang a little bit, looks all right on the feet, whatever, but going to be up against a guy who I don't think is going to let him stay there. It's the same thing with the Thiago Santos, Yoel Romero fight. I think Romero's got a little bit more intention in what he does and has the ability to take him down if he wants. Same thing here. Nemkov could probably hang with Capoloza on the feet anyway, and he's just going to bull rush a double leg and beat the hell out of him on the mat. I think that's why you see such wide odds. You know, and the Capoloza's first fight with Mateusz Scheffel, Scheffel kind of like held him against the cage for periods of time, both either to buy himself some time or to set some things up. And if, look, you're getting held against the cage by Mateusz Scheffel, I don't think you're going to have any issues getting just absolutely obliterated by Nemkov. So, yeah, give me Nemkov here. Not much to say. Negative 500 favorite for a reason. Roll it in a parlay if you're trying to juice things up a little bit.
There you go. Okay, move on to the aforementioned multiple times catchweight 182-pound fight. Ray Cooper the third versus Jason Jackson. I will tell you about Cooper the third first. Brada Boy is the nickname. 25-9-1, 16 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 4 times. 12-4-1 in the PFL. He was the champion in 2019 and 2021. He's gone loss, win, loss over his last 3 fights, so he did lose his last fight. He used to fight at welterweight. He used to fight at lightweight. He missed weight in his last fight at middleweight, so now he's got to get down to 182 for some reason for this fight. Was a regional champion, 2012 pro MMA debut, 3 years younger than Jackson, plus 330. Kind of goes, kind of leads in why Gumby's saying this card's not so great. We're getting a lot of big odds. We got another big 301 coming in the next fight as well. You would think it would be an even on paper fight card with PFL versus Bellator, but no. Jackson is the ass-kicking machine. Maybe that's what makes this fight uneven. I said uneven. He's 17-4, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 8-4 in Bellator and is their champion. Used to fight at welterweight. 7-0. He's welterweight champion, or is he the middleweight champion?
Who even Jackson was their welterweight.
He beat
Yaroslav Amosov.
Yes. Yep. He's won 7 serious fights, including knocking out the aforementioned Arasov in the last fight. He's not lost since October 2019. Multiple major championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamingpodcast.com/store. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to that website and figure it out. 0-1 in Contender Series. Who beat him, Gumby? There's a tough question.
Jason Jackson was on Contender Series?
Yeah, he was.
I'll get the intern on it. You go ahead.
All right. Because I can't remember even though I just looked it up a few hours ago. 1-1 in The Ultimate Fighter. There, he was in The Ultimate Fighter too as well, Gumby. 2012 pro MMA debut. 6 inches taller than Cooper. 8 inches of reach on him. Minus 410. All right,
Gumby. Are you sure he was on Contender Series?
I thought he was. I think Tapology said so. And yeah, you do the breakdown. I can take over now for.
I don't think he was on Contender Series.
Yeah, he faced Kyle Stewart, the race car driver, lost via TKO in round two after suffering an ankle injury.
I don't remember that even a little bit. All right, cool.
You remember the NASCAR driver driving his car over his ankle?
No, but I do remember Kyle Stewart. Yeah, this is one-way traffic again. Jason Jackson looked outstanding and proving me wrong. And, you know, I didn't think he'd beat Yaroslav Amosov. And he did, and did so convincingly, looked great doing it. Clearly, like, an upward trajectory for Jason Jackson. And then on the other side, Ray Cooper, you know, no offense to Ray Cooper, but just, like, his is the exact opposite recently. Like, he's not himself anymore. You know, he went from being a guy who looked like he was just going to win every single season of their 170-pound tournament to being a guy who, like, kind of couldn't make 170 anymore, looked like he kind of wasn't driven, then missed 185 and got manhandled by Derek Brunson. And like, that's just, if that's the problem here, is your problem is that, like, you're not motivated anymore. Because if you miss at 170, like, okay, maybe your body's changed, and then you immediately miss at 185,
yeah,
there's something going wrong. Either motivation wise or nutrition wise or otherwise. And then the end of the day, it just wound up being too much for him because Brunson could just wrestle the hell out of him. What do you think is going to happen against Jason Jackson? Like, same thing. You know, I hate for every single breakdown on this card to just be like, hey, watch the wrestler bulldoze this guy because he's not ready for what he's about to bring. But it's pretty much that for a lot of the earlier fights on this main card. So yeah, I expect Jason Jackson to just kind of manhandle him on the mat and take care of business here.
There you go.
And he could beat him on the feet too. I'll just say he probably just doesn't want to stay there.
Yeah. All right. Before we move on for the rest of this exciting card, we're going to tell you about Hall of Fame bets, or I'm going to tell you about Hall of Fame bets. Gumby's going to sit there and do whatever he does. Going to do ad reads. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start waiting with Hall of Fame Bets. All right. Gumby didn't do anything interesting there.
That episode with Jason Jackson was the third episode ever of Contender Series, which I don't remember it.
It wasn't thing yet.
Listen to who was on it. Dan Ige, Alonzo Menafield, Jeff Neal, Kyle Roberson, and Kyle Roberson beat Ryan Spann in that one. So Ryan Spann also wound up in the UFC. And then Kyle Stewart versus Jason Jackson. I can see why that might be the forgettable fight on that card. Because Jason Jackson got hurt, and the whole card was filled with future UFC stars.
Fantastic. They picked themselves some good fighters that season for sure. All right. Some good fighters in the next fight, but Gumby still probably doesn't like the fight, right?
I don't. And I got one big reason, but I'll save it. You go ahead.
Fine. I'll do, I guess, the positive part, resumes, and then Gumby will. We'll tell you why it's horrible. It's a middleweight title fight. It's actually a super fight. It's a champ versus a champ fight. All right. We're going to tell you about Impa Kasangane versus Johnny Eblen. Like I said, middleweights. Kasangane is Shilobo. He's 15-3. Three knockouts, four submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 5-0 in PFL and is their champion at light heavyweight, right?
Yes.
And he's fighting at middleweight. Makes sense. It makes perfect sense. So PFL is going to just turn into Bellator and do ridiculous things apparently now. Bellator has infected their brain already. Kasangane has won six straight fights, has not lost since March of 2022. Used to fight at welterweight and middleweight, and this one is at light heavyweight. Makes perfect sense. Has missed weight at welterweight before, 2-2 in the UFC. 2-0 on Contender Series, 1 inch of reach, 3 years younger than Eblen, plus 300 is the number for him. Sorry, this isn't at light heavyweight. This is at middleweight.
Middleweight.
was at light heavyweight. It's so I can't even keep track anymore at this point. Hopefully Johnny Eblen can keep track because he is the human cheat code. So he's probably got a lot of things stored in his CPU. He's 14-0, 6 knockouts, 1 submission, 10-0 Bellator, and is their champion of what weight class, Gumby?
Middleweight.
Right. 2 inches of height over Kasangane, minus 300. So another squash match on paper, at least.
Yeah, I'm going with Eblen too. In let me first be clear. I think Ibe Kasangane really revitalized his career going over to PFL, but I think a big piece of that was moving up to light heavyweight. His choice to move up to light heavyweight and to not like absolutely work himself over to get down to middleweight meant he could let go a little bit more. He was fighting people who were a touch slower. All of a sudden his speed plays up. He no longer has to worry about being the slower of the two guys, because him at light heavyweight is faster than almost every single person PFL has had. There were just so many advantages for Kasangane moving up in weight class, and now you're going to move him down and you're going to put him up against somebody who has a skill set that is going to bother him. Johnny Eblen, you know, fantastic wrestler, really good. You know, again, theme of this episode, wrestlers overall. You know, Johnny Eblen, just he's a motor. He absolutely has the submission skills to put Kasangane away. And now that Impa is going to be cutting back to middleweight, you have to wonder about how his – first of all, you're going to have to wonder about his weight cut goes, but you're definitely going to have to worry about his cardio. He's never a guy who we've like had to worry about his cardio per se, but he's also a guy who's gotten comfortable not really having to do a weight class or a weight cut. And now he's going to do one halfway across the world. I don't love that for him. And I certainly don't love that for him right before he fights a guy like Johnny Eblen. So yeah, give me Johnny Eblen here.
There you go. Mr. Eblen, the human cheat code is the pick. All right. Hopefully you can make some parlays out of all these big picks we're getting here. Okay. This one's closer on paper, at least. It's another champ versus champ fight at heavyweight. Henan Ferreira versus Ryan Bader, or Ryan Bader, if you want to pretend he's from Brazil. Ferreira, problema, is 12-3, 10 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted once, 6-1 with 3 no contests in PFL. 2023 champion, so he's the reigning champ. He's won 3 straight fights, all via knockout or TKO. He's not lost since August 2022. He made his pro MMA debut back in 2013. Here's some big numbers here. He's 6 years younger than Bader. He's 6 inches taller. He's got 11 inches of reach, and he's 27 pounds heavier based on their last weigh-ins. 11-inch reach. I don't know if we've seen one that big. 11-inch reach advantage, I mean. Plus 124, despite all of that. Darth Bader, 31-7 with 1 no contest, 13 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, submitted twice. 9-2 with 1 no contest in Bellator. He is the champion there, or was. Bellator exists. I don't know even more anymore. He used to be the 205, 205-pound champion, light heavyweight champion there as well. He's won 3 straight and 4 of 5. However, his last fight, he won it via TKO. It was against Fedor Emelianenko. So take it for what it's worth. And it was over a year ago, February 2023. October 2021 was his last loss. 15-5 in the UFC. 3-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and champion of his season. 2007 Pro MMA debut was a collegiate wrestling All-American like 4 times, I think, maybe. Every year he was in college. Minus 148.
I'm going to squeak in one pick that goes against my entire trend of wrestlers over anything here. And I'm going to actually take Henan Ferreira.
I agree with this pick.
Yeah, I know the height really bothers me, and not that Fajita is impossible to take down, because we saw it. You know, you want to go back to some of his losses in PFL, like when he kind of lost to Fabrizio Verdun. Whatever happened in that fight, it was crazy.
Yeah, the tap, yeah, not
one tapped and didn't tap, and then he scored a, yeah, whatever. It is what it is. But like since then, he's looked really good on the feet. He's got big power. I think Ryan Bader, you know, of all the people, is going to have the easiest time to getting to his legs. But I don't know that he'll finish him there, and really only takes Fajita stepping out of range one time on one of those shots and cracking him and putting him away. You know, Bader's kind of old and sort of past his prime and has gotten to the point where maybe you're going to like question how quick he can move. And Fajita's not a super fast heavyweight by any stretch of the imagination, but he is a big guy. And sometimes that makes up for some of that speed deficiency anyway, because he can just stay further away from him and not have to close that range in any way, shape or form. So yeah, I'm going to take a stab here. I don't love him on this. I do think he's got a little bit of submission skills, which is worth noting. I do think he's got a lot of power. And then obviously like the youth and the height thing is the difference maker for me. And obviously when you can get him at dog money, that sweetens the pot a little bit.
All right, there you go. We ended on a positive note. All right. Recap: Fajita, Eblen, Jackson, Nemkov, Romero. We'll all be watching this event, and we'll all be talking about it in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. So get in there. You can also hit us up on Twitter if you choose, SGPN MMA, at Gumby Real and at Jeff Fox Writer. I'm that on Instagram as well. MoneyMMA.substack.com is the place to go for all my MMA writings, and enter my free pick 'em contest there for the UFC. Listen to Gumby, Top Turtle MMA podcast. this week is a big week for fighters from, I'm trying to think of the, Mexico. You have a lot of Mexican fighters. Mexican fighters on this week, right? I couldn't remember where the UFC was this week.
But Mexico, yeah.
Mexico. So tell the people who was on it.
Daniel Zellhuber, Manuel Torres, and Ronaldo Rodriguez.
There you go. So listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast, and you don't have to listen to me that way either. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. All right, we'll be back tomorrow already. Oh my gosh, Gumby, we get no breaks here this week. We're back on Wednesday already. It'll be me, the ass-kicking machine, Jeff Fox, and Brada Boy will be by my side, Gumby Reed, and we'll talk to you about the UFC in Mexico City. Bye-bye.